I want to start in John, the 17th chapter, Gospel of John 17, and start at verse 1. And we'll read quite a bit in John today, Lord willing. But it says, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." You know, this morning we wrote on the board, "Christ, the center of all spiritual health." We've been studying about spiritual health now for quite a few Sundays. I think this is the 13th of this, and probably the last in this little series. But we've been thinking about the wheel that we've got up here. We've been thinking about the spokes in the wheel and what all those things mean. Things that support our experience. They support our ability to handle weight. They support our ability to make it over the long haul. The wheel is very important if you're going to carry something. And so we've studied about a lot of different things. The joy and strength of one another. Three things we started with in Matthew, the 25th chapter, I believe it was. And where it speaks of the oil in our vessel. It speaks of the talents given. Things, responsibilities given to us. It speaks of our responsibility to one another in the world, to people that don't have what we have. It speaks of all those things. We mentioned virtue, a good name, forgiveness, a sound mind, consistency, a good understanding, the scriptures, endurance, the fear of the Lord, the hope of heaven. All of these things support our experience with the Lord, don't they? But I want to think about this morning a little different aspect. You wouldn't call it a spoke, you'd call it the hub. It's the center. It's down here. Everything goes out from there. This around here is where the rubber meets the road, if you will. This is a steel wheel from an old wagon. A real wheel that they evidently used to roll on. But it had a center, and out from that center came all the spokes. You know, the world is full of people trying their best to figure life out and to figure out all the things that Christ tells us about. But our figuring those things out is from the Lord, aren't they? It's from a whole different aspect. People within themselves, they meditate in a way that's different than we meditate. We meditate upon the Word of God. We meditate upon the Lord. We allow His thoughts to come into our mind and heart. And others, we were one time in a place out in Arizona, Sedona, and there were people sitting around on rocks, and they were just still as a statue. Things moving all around them, and they wouldn't even move. Didn't look like they were moving their eyelids hardly or anything. Meditating. You know, those kind of things try to come from within as they think of it. I think many times when we begin that journey, we also begin a journey that lands up in trouble because it's not from within. And a lot of times the devil starts working in those ways too. It's not from the devil, is it? But the center of all that we believe and are comes from the Lord. It comes from a relationship with God. And we read the scriptures here in John the 17th chapter. And I want to look a little bit at the last, from 12 through 21. And there we find that whole side of John, almost the whole half of the book, is about the last 6 days that Jesus was on the earth and his resurrection. That whole, from 12 on, and I love to look at that picture. John paints a very beautiful picture of what actually happened and what the Lord had on his mind. He shared what the Lord had on his mind in those last 6 days. And so we find him here, and he says here, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Folks, everything, all the things that support, they come from the Lord. They come from our relationship with him. They're alive. This is the wheel we have is not dead. The experience we have is not made by hands. Nobody sculpted it. It's living. And it's supposed to be full of life, vibrant life. And the Lord wants that to be the case. And so he wants us to draw near to him. Because from the Lord and from his understandings come all the things that we have. All those good things. They not only come as an understanding, they come as a growth, don't they? They're alive and they're part of our life. And they're much more than just that we read it in a book or we sat and we thought about something long enough that we got a little something from it. We use our mind. But I'll tell you, it really comes from our life, eternal life within. And that is a real, as the Lord put it here, that they might know thee, the only true God. And so I know we know these things. Most of us here know them very well. But do you know, we want to just keep in mind, folks, the real center of it all is not all the learning, but it's the learning of the Lord. The relationship, the closeness with him, and that place with God that brings. And so we're going to move away here for a moment and come back. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 21, and I marvel at the understanding that Paul the Apostle had after he so violently fought against Christ and his followers and everything that they taught, so much of what they taught. He fought against that. He had them put in prison and all those things. But I'll tell you, when God got a hold of him and when he got eternal life in his soul, everything changed. And he became a great proponent, maybe one of the greatest proponents of it in history, and wrote a lot of things for us that we have. And so we look over here in 1 Corinthians 1 and 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God. Now this is the wisdom of God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Did you know it pleased God to do that? Do you know sometimes you feel a little foolish trying to tell people things and share things maybe that they already know? But you know, God chose that, didn't he? And I've wondered sometimes, Lord, we're people, and people zero in on our faults, or they see those things, and you still are concerned. You still use people. I want to ask him that when I get there. Lord, why didn't you use angels? So there would be no mistake. There would be no error. There would be nothing for the enemy to work with. But it pleased God by his wisdom to use the foolishness of preaching. And so he goes on to say, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. What a difference Now, these things, these wise things, these things that support our life and our experience. The Greeks sought after wisdom, didn't they? What are the things that build life right? But Paul says, we preach Christ crucified. You know, and from that, then grows all of these things into our life, doesn't it? So we find here, reading on, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So I want to turn back, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. I want to turn back and pretty much stay in John most of the time. But we start here in John 12 and 27. You know, Jesus knew before, he was not a victim of circumstances. Jesus came with a mission, didn't he? He came with the idea that I'm going to be crucified. He came to suffer for us. That was in his mind. We know that, don't we? But you know what? We need to be reminded of those things. 27th verse of 12. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Do you know that Jesus said, my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Shall I say, Father, save me from this hour? No, for this hour I came. I came forth. And he goes on to say, for this cause. For this cause. Do you know there was a cause that the Lord came for? Do you know that when you maybe, when you was young and you started your little life of sin, you know that separated you from God? We just need to be reminded sometimes. What kind of hope did you have to come to God that made the world and the heavens? How are you going to find him? How are you going to come to him? You're going to knock on his door? You're going to say, God, I want to talk to you. I'll tell you, Jesus came as a bridge that we might be saved from our sin. Folks, we want to remember that these last 6 days, that this last part of John, the last half almost of John, speaks of, tells us very clearly the mind of the Lord. And tells us very clearly how that the Lord, he didn't get crucified because he fell into a trap. He was crucified for our sins. What hope did we have of heaven? What hope did we have? The blood of some bull? The blood of a calf? The blood of a lamb being slain? And the blood put on the doorpost? But the Lord came that we might truly be changed from the inside, that we might have eternal life living within. And so we look back just a little bit here in the 11th chapter and 49th verse, and we find Caiaphas, the high priest, and he's saying in verse 50, he says, it is expedient, this is part of the verse, it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation perish not. And so that was after Lazarus had been raised from the dead. You would think that would create a sensation and everybody would be flocking to the Lord. Not so. That is when, that very time when Caiaphas and the people saw that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead there. I think that's in the 11th chapter as well. And we find there that that's when Caiaphas said, he's got to die. And from that time, they began to look for a time to kill and to crucify the Lord. And so we start over here then in the 12th chapter. But now let's remember that Jesus said, no man taketh it from me. This is in 10 of John. and 18. No man taketh it from me as life, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And so I want to start reading in the 12th chapter now. And we begin to lead up through this last 6 days. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always with you. Did you know from that time Jesus began to prepare, because this was the last week. And so we see this time. This was the Sabbath before the Passover. And we see Jesus telling them, let this lady alone. She's poured this out against my bearing. She's done this. He knew what was coming, didn't he? He did it on purpose. He didn't throw himself into their hands, but he allowed the day of darkness that we might be saved. And so this morning, you want to be saved. I want to be saved. We can be saved. Did you know that? You can be saved. You can be saved because Jesus, on purpose, bore your penalty. He bore the price of lying. He bore the price of thievery. He bore the price of murder. He got whipped. They beat him. I know we could go on for hours about these kind of... We don't have that. So I'm going to say it very, very shortly. He was beaten. His back ran down with blood. Folks, when we want to be saved and we want to make it to heaven and we want to have that with the Lord that He has promised us, it comes because we have faith in this shed blood. He paid a price for you and me, for us to not believe, or to tarry in the shadows, or to not allow the full effect of it in our life, is a real error on our part. I want to tell you, the Lord paid a great price. And He said, no man takes it from me. There isn't any man. I'm doing this. I'm laying down my life for you. I'm doing this in your stead. I'm giving my blood because the price of sin is blood. That's what God required. But was the blood of bulls and of goats and of lambs enough? Of course not. But there was only one, and that was Christ. And so here the week before, he begins time after time mentioning what's coming. His disciples, it seems like, should have well known what was coming by the time it got there. I'm going to read on and read a good part of this 12th chapter. Much people, verse 9, much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. Did you know he just raised Lazarus from the dead? This is probably a few months before he was crucified. It wasn't early in his ministry. But the chief priests consulted. This was a big problem for them. The whole world was going to go after the Lord, they said, if they didn't do something. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast. Now listen, these things, folks, we need to have in our mind. I want to challenge us all. Read the book of John, especially the last half. And then the other gospels back up so much. It's so strengthening to your faith. But read that last half of John. Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Now we're in a world today that they're fighting Jesus just as much as they were here, with everything they have. And believe me, when they get the power to put to death, they will do that too. If they get that power, they will do that as well. But it says, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, why do we say that Palm Sunday? It says on the next day, that's after the Sabbath, that's a Sunday, the Sunday before the Passover where Jesus was killed as a Passover for us. And so they took branches of palm trees and they went forth and they cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And when he had found a young ass sat thereon. Now why did he do that? As it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him and that they had done these things unto him. It's very important for us to get in our memory bank the fact, folks, that when we are opposed, remember these things were written hundreds of years before. The things concerning Jesus, the things that happened to him. Moses prophesied of him way back there. And we find all through the centuries, prophecy after prophecy, until the Jews were expecting Christ, weren't they? They were expecting him to come. Now, they weren't expecting him to come like he came. They envisioned a palace. They envisioned a kingdom with armor and armies and all of that. That's what they envisioned. He was going to deliver them from their enemies, the Romans. That's what they was thinking. But Jesus had something so much greater, something that would affect the whole world the rest of time. And so the people, therefore, that was with him, when he had called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. Maybe we'll drop on down. We'll read this. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now, who was he speaking that of? Of himself, wasn't he? He said, unless a seed falls into the ground, it just sits on the shelf. We keep it in packets, don't we? Maybe for several years, and then we put it in the ground. When that outside hull begins to rot off of there, and we see something coming forth, don't we? It bringeth forth, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. But he don't stop there. He tells us something about ourselves as well. He says, He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. And so he calls us, and this is what I really hope that one of the main things this morning that maybe we catch is that, folks, Jesus wasn't the only one that had to give up his life. If we want to be a follower of Jesus, we have to give up our life as well. Jesus could have went on to become a king. I am persuaded that had he worked with those authorities and let them boost him up, he would have probably became something in this world before the Romans killed him. But I'll tell you, he chose to die and to give his life. And he's telling us the same thing. If we're going to follow him, we also are going to have to lose our life. Because, folks, it is only then that all the seed, that everything begins to come out of our life. It's only then. You watch and you plant. You plant a seed. After a while, in a different season, it'll bear more seed. And it'll bear a lot more seed than you planted. You might plant one and it might bear 10,000 or 6,000. There's a few plants that can bear thousands of seeds. But this morning, I just want to encourage us today that we allow the Lord to take our life like that, that we don't hold our life. You know, Jesus said, this was over in, well, this is John 12, I'm still reading that. But you know, in Jesus' prayer, in the 17th chapter, he prayed for us. He prayed for us to follow him, didn't he? I'm going to read a little more here before I quit, on down to 34. Jesus, verse 30, answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up?" Who is this Son of Man? You know, we take that verse and we sing about it and all of that. That I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. And we think of it in our minds many times as, I want to lift up Christ. But what Christ was really talking about here was, if I'm lifted up on that pole, if I'm lifted up on that cross and I die and I lose my life, I'll draw all men unto me. That is a reference. And if you look back, and I can give it to you. It's in Numbers. We find there where the people had complained against God. And they had knowingly erred, knowingly done wrong before the Lord. And he sent fiery serpents. He sent serpents in among them that took the lives of many thousands of the Israelites. And Moses besought the Lord for them. And the Lord and God told him, "You make a fiery serpent and you put it on a pole and put it up in the air. And when someone's bit, they can look to that. They can look to that. And if they will look away from their bite, if they will look away from the serpents and look to that pole and see that serpent on the pole, they'll be well." What a thing. Why would you not do that? I'm sure some didn't. They were so taken by the bite and by the scare and by all that was around them. But folks, the Lord tells us that he also must be lifted up. And he tells us, like that was, so the Son of Man must be lifted up too. Folks, our hope is not in all the things we learn. Those things are a supplement. They are a addition. All the things we've been talking about, they are additions and supplements to that walk with the Lord that we have. And so when we look to the Lord, and I know this is, we know this, don't we? But by the foolishness of preaching, folks, let's remember, let's look to the Lord. Let's look to Him again. Let's look to Him if we've been bit. Let's look to Him if we are dying. Because if we can look to Him before we die, if we look to Him even after we die spiritually, folks, there's life in the Lord, isn't there? He was lifted up that we might be saved. He was lifted up that from that center in our life, from that salvation experience, everything else happens. Then when the rubber meets the road way out here on the outside, when the rubber meets the road in our life, it is supported by all those things that come out of our experience with the Lord. And that's where those are anchored. They're anchored into that hub, aren't they? So this morning, I just want to encourage us today. Let's remember to let the Lord be the center of everything. I want to just cap real quickly some of these chapters following the 12th chapter. Now this happened Palm Sunday less than a week before the crucifixion. And then we find Jesus in the 13th chapter, and what's it begin to tell us? What's it begin to tell? About feet washing, doesn't it? And Jesus took a towel and He girded Himself and He began to wash the disciples' feet. And Peter was, "No, Lord, You're not going to wash my feet. No way." And He said, "If I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part in this." And so the Lord began to show His disciples, "I want you to do as I have done. I have given you an example. Now I want you to go forth. And I want this to be your life." And this was important enough. That example was important enough that Jesus didn't do that 2 years before. He did it in the last 6 days. He did it right up against the time that he was to be crucified. In fact, I should have looked that up, but it's very close to the end there. And we find him showing forth, "I want you to go. I want you to serve other people. I want you to humble yourself to one another. I want that. This is my people." That's in the 13th chapter. The 14th chapter, what does Jesus start with? "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." That's 14 and 1 and 2. But it goes on to say in the 16th verse, you know what Jesus begins to tell them in this last week, and He hits on it several times. It's very important to God's people. And He says, "And I will pray the Father," this is verse 16, "and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Folks, we don't want to stop with just saying, "Lord, pardon my sin." There's a critical element that God wants to put within our life that you read in Acts, the first chapter. He said, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Let's seek the Lord. Even if we have the Holy Ghost, let's seek the Lord for the Holy Ghost to have greater liberty in our life. That's where the works of God come from the Holy Spirit. That's where the power of God comes from in our life. Let's seek Him, not just for a knowledge, "Lord, I know it's okay now." No, but "Lord, I want Your Holy Spirit to work in my life. I want You to have Your will in my life day by day. I want to be empowered to be able to go all across the world, wherever You send me, that I won't fade in the face of persecution or my troubles or my trials." There's something about it that was very important to the Lord. You remember John, the 15th chapter. Now see here, this is coming right up. "I am the vine, and ye are the branches." That's verse 5. "He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. for without me ye can do nothing. And you know, again, the Lord promises the Comforter. In the 15th chapter, we read very important things from the Lord. He promises again the Comforter. In the 16th chapter, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. Nevertheless, he says, I'm telling you these things that you won't be offended. Folks, we need to know those things, don't we? Let's study those last chapters. The Lord wants us to know, is it all going to be always, are we always going to be lifted up because we're Christians and that we live righteous lives and that we glorify God? No. He said, I want you to know that it's not always going to be that way. Verse 7 and 16 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The Holy Spirit, when he's in our life, folks, in the Spirit of God, he said, I'll reprove the world. He said, I will, of sin and righteousness and judgment, I'll show forth the true pattern of God to this world through the Holy Spirit. And then the last of the 16th chapter, Jesus is still telling them, behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. 17. Do we know what the 17th chapter is? It's the prayer of Jesus, isn't it? Jesus praying for his people, and not for these only, not for these disciples only, but for all those that hear them. That covers us, doesn't it? They wrote to us. We read the writings. And we see verse 15 in the 17th chapter of John. And he says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. You know, the Lord wanted, when this was pivotal, when he gave himself, what he was doing, he was imparting his very last, the things that were so important to him, he was imparting to them. And John wrote them down. Really a blessing to have John. I know the others are a blessing too, but I love the writings of John as well. The 18th chapter. Here we find Jesus coming up to the time. And here's Peter. What's Peter do? He takes his sword out. You think he's going to let the Lord be made captive? No, he takes the sword out and uses it. And he cuts an ear off, doesn't he? And as I've said many times, I don't think he was trying to cut his ear off. He was meaning to do business, wasn't he? That's what Peter was meaning to do. But you know what the Lord said? He said, put up thy sword. John 18 and 11. Peter was doing what was natural. He was defending the Lord, and he meant business by it. Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? I have a cup to drink, and I'm going to drink it. It's going to be your salvation. It's going to be the world's salvation. And all that call upon me in faith will be saved. Isn't that a blessing this morning? Is there anyone that can't be saved today? If you believe that, you're believing a heresy. Everyone can be saved. The Lord wants to save souls today. And he wants to save us. And he wants us to be saved. And he wants us to have power in our life that we might live for him. And so then we find Jesus in the 19th chapter. We find them flogging, scourging him, making fun of him, putting a plat of, well, I don't remember exactly what all John records there. But we find him being crucified in the 19th chapter, don't we? The first verse says, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the 30th verse says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And so we find all of these scriptures, the 20th chapter, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early while it was yet dark unto the sepulchre, seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. 29th verse of 20. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And so we want to finish with a few other scriptures, folks. The Lord did all of this for our benefit. And let's don't be talked out of it. And let's don't let the world tell us another gospel. Let's don't let the world tell us that every religion is trying to do the same thing. I want to tell you what false religions are doing. They're taking people to an eternal hellfire. We're not going to the same place. The scripture says that only by the name of Jesus must men be saved, folks. That's what it says. We live in a world that is crowding us on every side to believe every kind of thing. Familiarize yourself with the words of the Lord. Familiarize yourself with history. They will tell you all kinds of falsehoods about history. I want to tell you something. This is quite well documented, actually. And it's not just in the Bible, believe it or not. And so this morning, the Lord help us each one. Folks, Colossians 3 and 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead. You're dead. You've been crucified too, to the Lord. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And so we want to remember that the Lord wants us. He wants to make himself unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. The Lord bless each one of us this morning. Remember the scripture that says, this is John also, 1 and 12. John just starts out with such beautiful language. It really does. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So we want to be encouraged this morning to receive him, to believe him, to understand the things he was telling us, to understand how he kept telling us, I'm going to send a comforter. Folks, did you know that the Lord said he would send a comforter? A comforter? One that will comfort us. Let's make use of that. One that will lead us into all truth. How can a man know truth in a world that's filled with intertwining errors on every hand? How? I'll tell you, the only safe way is to give our life to the Lord. Be forgiven. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Grow in that. Out of that center. Out of that eternal life that's in our soul. Out of that hub. Out of that work that the Lord has done in our heart. Let that begin to grow in us. A growth that begins, that's alive. That begins to have meaning in our life. That puts strength in our life. That gives comfort when we would sag away completely under the things of this life. Folks, the Lord wants to do that for us today and guide us into all truth. He wants to be the center of our life. And I adjure all of us again, if you be risen with Christ, then seek those things which are above. Because if we don't do that, we won't make it. We won't make it. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, of the throne. The Lord has that for us, doesn't He? You pray for me. I want to live for the Lord. I want to do His will. Amen.